In Baghdad this weekend, U.S. officials named a team to manage Iraq's most important resource, oil. Iraq has the world's second largest oil reserves after Saudi Arabia, and managing the oil wealth is a potentially explosive political issue. NPR's John Idsty reports that under the plan put in place yesterday, the Iraqi oil industry will take on something of a corporate structure.
At the top of the organizational pyramid will be Philip J. Carroll, former head of Shell Oil. He'll chair an advisory board akin to a corporate board of directors, which will oversee the management of the Iraqi oil ministry. The head manager at the ministry itself, playing a CEO-like role, will be an Iraqi named Tamir Ghatban. He was head of planning at the oil ministry before the war. For Iraqis like former oil minister Issam Chalabi, who fled the country in the early 1990s, it's not a very satisfactory arrangement.
I think in this setup, Philip Carroll will be making all the decisions, and the Mr. Ghatban will be carrying out the day-to-day operations. So I hope that this is a very temporary situation, and that once an Iraqi interim authority, a provisional government, whatever they're going to call it, they will be more in charge with all decisions being made by themselves.
Larry Goldstein of the Petroleum Industry Research Foundation, an industry-funded think tank, sat in on some of the meetings where the administration plan was hatched. He has a very different view of who will be in charge under the U.S. plan.
The Iraqis at the oil ministry. That's been the intent from day one. The U.S. never intended to control the Iraqi oil industry.
Goldstein even doubts that Advisory Board Chairman Philip Carroll will exercise a veto if the U.S. doesn't like decisions made by the oil ministry.
I can't honestly tell you he will or he won't. My sense is that he won't. They will supervise, they will oversee, but the day-to-day responsibility of making the decisions will be in the oil ministry.
The U.S. will be very careful about exercising a veto, says Goldstein, because the administration is extremely sensitive to charges made by some that its intention all along has been to control Iraq's oil.
I think that theme permeates throughout every phase of our involvement there, and they're sensitive to that, which is why the oil ministry will be exclusively, the senior positions will be Iraqis. Even Carroll's advisory council, I understand, will have several Iraqis named, a number of international players as well, with Spanish backgrounds, Italian backgrounds, English backgrounds, a whole host of different nationalities will be involved. And there clearly will not be a large, visible U.S. presence.
The concern that the United States and big multinational oil companies are after Iraq's oil was reignited this week by a story in the Wall Street Journal. It reported on an administration planning document that suggests privatization of the Iraqi oil industry might be a good thing. Former oil minister Chalabi said such a suggestion now is very counterproductive.
I don't think this is really a good idea. It is something that cannot be even considered by the Iraqi oil professionals, let alone the Iraqi people in general. I think somebody needs to get back the oil industry on its feet before talking about such wild ideas.
Daniel Juergen of CIRA, an energy consulting firm, also author of the prize, The Epic Quest for Oil, Money, and Power, says now is not the time for the U.S. to be discussing privatization.
What they really got to do is create a kind of cohesive team here, because the real task is logistics, organization, getting the workers back to work, and beginning the assessment of what needs to be done to rehabilitate this industry that has become so dilapidated over the last 20 years.
Also a matter of great urgency, says Juergen, is breaking the logjam over the UN Oil for Food program, which legally controls the revenue from Iraq's oil exports. The program expires June 3rd, and the U.S., France, and Russia appear set for another Security Council battle over how to fill the vacuum, a battle that could damage the UN as well as tie up funds desperately needed for Iraq's reconstruction. John Idsty, NPR News, Washington.